Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5, and we're going to close out this passage of scriptures in this chapter. We're going to do our best to expound 17 through 25. Amen. And allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day that you have given us. Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Serve God with Your Whole Heart. Serve God with your whole heart. And one of the things we're going to see in these passages of scriptures is that was the exhortation from Paul the Apostle to young Timothy. And so let's read 17 through 25, and then let's allow the Holy Ghost to take us where it needs to take us tonight. And it reads, Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine, meaning the teaching of God's word. For the scripture says, You will not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Praise God. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. Those who are sinning rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear. Wow. So now you're looking at structure in the church. And then it goes on to say, And I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. Verse 22, do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. Verse 23, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. We're going to see on this, and we're just going to touch on this. And then number 24, verse 24, some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment. But those of some men follow later. Likewise, the works of some are clearly evident, and those are otherwise cannot be hidden. So these are really tough passages of scripture to break down, but let's do our best. Amen. So let's look at verse 17. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. And then in 18, it says, For the scripture says, You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. And so, saints, these elders carried significant responsibilities in overseeing the entire congregation at this time. And those who do their work well should be paid well. Amen? Paul singled out those elders who carried out the twin responsibilities of preaching and teaching. You know, by the grace of God, we've been here for 8 years, and I don't take a salary from the church. I get a little stipend, and for 8 years it has never changed. And I know when Snooky was on our board, she tried to go before the elder and says, Pastor Fee needs to get paid more. And I said, no. Through good times and bad times, you know, a stipend is good enough here. And what is a stipend? $1,400 a month. That's it. A lot of you cannot live on $1,400 a month. Can I get an amen? And so that's it. And so we're thankful. And we tithe off that $1,400 a month. We give it back. So does God bless those who preach and teach? We see it in the word. Now, there's some that take advantage, and they're living on Sugar Hill, you know, riding around, you know, in a Benz. But that's between them and God. For us, we're going to serve the Lord, you know, with our whole heart. It's all about the saints of God. It's about the word of God. It's about laboring before the Lord. But he sent them out. And God made sure that he took care of the people that he sent out to teach and preach. We see this in Matthew. Look at this right up here. In Matthew 10, it says, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter the city of Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That was why Jesus came first. He wanted to reach his brethren, meaning the Jews. But we all know what happened. They turned down the gospel. The majority of them did. And so it was turned over to us as Gentiles. But look at this. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely you have received. Freely you give. This is our job now. Can I get an amen? This is what God is requiring us as believers, is to go out and lay hands on the sick, to preach and teach, to raise up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And so it says in verse 9, provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts. Let's go on to the next verse. Nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food. Jesus made sure that when he sent them out, they were going to have provision. Praise God. And guess what? They had the power and the anointing of God upon them. Look at this. Now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire in it. It is worthy. And stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. Let me just say this. How many of you have witnessed, how many of you preached and taught to some that are not saved? And some of them has received it. Some of them said, thank you. Some of them even maybe have become saved. And then there's some that just reject you. Man, they laugh at you or they'll say, yeah, well, thank you. And they move on. It's like it went in one ear, out the other, huh? Well, look what is going to happen to them. I'm glad I didn't write this. And this is not my opinion. Let's move on. Let's go to the next verse of scripture. And whoever will not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment for that city. Let me just say this. Those who you have taught, those who you witnessed, those who you have preached, and they refuse to listen and take heed to the word of God that Jesus wants to save them from their sin. It would be better for Sodom and Gomorrah, as God said up here, because they will be cast into hell. This is a serious indictment. Remember I preached mankind is indicted by God? Look at this. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And it's not only found in this verse of scripture, because there's always a witness. It takes two to be a witness, to bring a truth. Let's go on to this one right here, Luke 10 and 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them by two before his face in every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. How many believe that? The harvest is great. There's people on your job that have seen you for years. Those in school, your family members have seen you for years. And they need to hear Jesus by us. Can I get an amen? Because why? God's calling us to go out into the fields and to bring in a harvest. And if we're not saying nothing, if we're just like afraid, or you know what, they may laugh at me or rebuke me, or they may make fun of me. We're not to care about that. Can I get an amen? Amen. Look at this. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers in his harvest. Right now, this is the most critical time in our history, in the history of the world, is to go out and to preach the gospel. Can I get amen? Look at this. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Yeah, there's wolves out there. Yeah, and all they want to do is mock the Lord. We just heard today, some of you were just mentioned, Amarosia was on what? The View. And she said Mike Pence was praying, and he heard from Jesus, and they mocked him. They're not mocking Mike Pence. They're mocking the Lord. They're mocking the God that's in them. And look at this. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter first, peace to this house. Let me just say this. Those who receive the word and those who humble themselves, man, the peace of God will come upon them. But those who reject God, man, pray for all those that were sitting on that program in The View, because every one of them were mocking Jesus. Man, if none of those people ever come, if they never come to a place of repentance, they will drop into the pit of the abyss. Look at this. But whatever house you enter first, say peace in this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his wages. So God is not going to forget about you when you go out there and labor. He will bless you. He'll take care of your car. He'll take care of your house. He'll take care of your health. Can I get an amen? And do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things that are set before you. And heal the sick there. And say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. This is our story. We need to tell them, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Can I get amen? Now look at this. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us will wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Wow. We all know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. From heaven, firestorms and hell and these fireballs came from heaven and destroyed that whole entire city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Saints, preaching and teaching are closely related. Preaching, literally laboring in the word, involves proclaiming the word of God, explaining its truth, helping learners understand difficult passages. These passages are difficult. So it's my job as a teacher to help explain these. Can I get an amen? And then God's word should be applied to our daily life, every day. Teaching refers more to extended training of others in Christian teaching, meaning doctrine, and the gospel message. These roles carried added importance. Why? Because the New Testament was not yet available in written form. They were basically developing their testimony. Can I get an amen? Because the New Testament is their testimonies. They're writing down what they saw, what they heard, and what the Holy Spirit implied upon their life. It was imputed upon them. Let's look now. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 19. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. Did you catch that? You know, someone can tell you something, blah, 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 and say, well, okay, well, you know, I'll take it to prayer. But if there's two or three that have the same story, then the Bible says, then it becomes more as an established truth. So watch out when someone tells you, blah, 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 blah. Just, man, be careful. Be careful. You want to hear, you want some proof. Well, are you sure? Is there a witness about this? You know, can we get two or three more witnesses before it establishes itself as presidents? Look at this. Those who are sinning rebuke in the presence of all that rest also may fear. Did you know there are times when someone has to be rebuked in front of the church? The Bible says if you have an ought with your brother and sister, go to that person and say, hey, we have an issue. Let's resolve it. If it's not resolved, then you bring another brother and then explain the situation. If they don't want to hear you, I'm talking about those that are in the church, then you have to bring it to the church. I've seen some people have to be cast out of the church because of their willful transgression. It's a tough thing for a pastor. It's a tough thing for elders and and those that are in the congregation. But what the Bible says, it should also bring a fear, a reverence to God, that we can't be playing the church. We need to be the church. Can I get amen? We need to be the church, saints. Wherever a group of people work together, conflicts occur. We know that. It happens. It happens in our own home. Can I get amen? If conflicts happen in our own home, guess what? They will happen on the job. They will happen in school. They'll happen amongst friends. It'll happen in church, unfortunately. It happens. Listen, there's no perfect church. If there's a perfect church, please, I don't want to go and visit it. You know why? Because as soon as I get there, it's not perfect no more. There's not a perfect church. Oh, this one has everything that I'm looking for. Uh-huh. And then after about a couple months, you're going to find why you don't like it no more. You're going to pick it apart. Why? Because it's our human nature. We do that. We're always critiquing. We're always picking things apart. Instead of praying and praying for things to be knitted together and not torn apart. Can I get amen? The church and its leaders are not exempt from sin. We get that. We're not exempt from faults and mistakes. But criticism may arise for wrong reasons or impure motives, minor imperfections, failure to meet someone's expectations, and personality clashes. Oh, I don't just get along with that, brother. Really? Have you tried praying for him? Have you tried praying for your heart? Can I get amen? That's right. Sometimes when you pray for your heart, God will open up a place in your heart for that person that you think you have an ought with. Thus, Paul called upon the Old Testament stipulation that complaints should not even be heard unless there are two or three witnesses. See, they didn't have the New Testament. Can I get amen? All they had was the Old Testament. So they had to glean back. They had to go back to the Old Testament to establish a truth in their predicament and the things that they were dealing with at the time. Let's look right up here in Deuteronomy. Whoever is deserving of death shall be put to death on the testimony of what? Two or three witnesses. He shall not be put to death on the testimony of one witness. Man, if someone says, yeah, I saw that person, man. Yeah, that person is the one that killed him. Oh, yeah, you got another witness. No, it was just me. Well, I'm sorry. According to the Word of God, there needs to be two or three to establish a truth. Amen? And so be careful when you accuse someone. You better have another witness with you. Oh, yeah. Look what it says in Deuteronomy in another passage. One witness shall rise against, look this, one witness shall not rise against a man concerning any iniquity or any sin that commits. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established. And then in the New Testament, look what Jesus wrote here in Matthew 18:16. But if he will not hear, in other words, if you have an ought with someone, he says, if he will not hear, take with you one or two or more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Does your Bible have red writing? Well, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So that has to take place. And this is why Timothy was instructed by Paul. Because he had a responsibility. He had a church that he had to raise up. He was responsible. He was the overseer of that church that God had given him to raise up the people in the fear and admonition of the Lord. But there had to be structure and there had to be order. Can I get amen? Look at John 8:17. It says, it is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. So be careful before you accuse someone. Be careful if you have an ought with someone. Be careful. Make sure that you have solid evidence that such a person has transgressed against you or has transgressed against the church or whatever the case may be. Make sure there's another reliable source that saw the same thing. Amen? That's what the Word of God teaches. And even in 2 Corinthians, look what it says here. This will be the third time I am coming to you. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. That's why there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There were four witnesses of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So it's indisputable. You can't dispute. Why? Because there's four witnesses. Listen, four of us, let's just take four of us that are in this room right now. And if we were standing on the corner and bam, we saw an accident. Guess what? All four people will see the same accident, but will see something a little different from the other, but it's the same accident. Can I get amen? And so you may say, well, man, I saw someone that was on their cell phone. And then one will say, well, it was real dark, and I think that person got hit because it was too dark. Every one of us will see the same accident, but have a different testimony, but it's the same accident. Well, they saw the death, burial, and resurrection. They saw the life of Christ, and they shared their testimony on how they saw it. But when you read all four accounts of the Gospels, it was all about Jesus. It wasn't about any other God. It wasn't about any other man. It was about the Lord Jesus Christ. So, saints, just because there were two or three witnesses doesn't mean the accused was automatically guilty. A thorough investigation of charges was still required. So there still has to be some collaboration. There still need to be some dialogue. Can I get amen? I mean, because three people can just conspire against someone. I said, come on, man. Let's get this one. So everything has to come with truth and purity of heart. Can I get amen? And so let's go to verse 21. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. So that confers what I was talking about. In other words, you can't come in with half-truths. You got to know that it's all truth. Saints, as difficult as it might be, Timothy was not to waver on any of these instructions, and perhaps particularly the instructions about rebuking elders when needed. Paul gave Timothy this charge in the sight of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and also the holy angels. So guess what? When Paul laid hands on Timothy, he says, I charge you now. And no, he didn't take his debit card and charged him. It's not that kind of a charge. It was not something that he had to pay Paul. It was not that kind of a charge. It was a proclamation over young Timothy. Is now that you have become the pastor of this church, you are now responsible for everything you do, everything you teach, everything you say. In other words, there was a double responsibility on Timothy. Why? Because he will be judged by God when he comes. And did you know, as Christians, we will be judged as soon as God appears to us. Not judged of our sins. We've been already dealt with our sin. We've been forgiven. But what we say, what we do, hidden agendas, all these things still, we will stand before Jesus. And he will bring back our whole life before we were a Christian, during we were a Christian, and then mainly is as believers. And we're going to be held responsible for many things that we have done as a believer. And how do I know this? Because the Word of God tells us. Let's look. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Let's look at this. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Before we go on any further, I'm not talking about a salvation issue. God has saved us. Can I get an amen? Amen. But we are responsible for everything that we do as a believer. And everything that we say. And this is why we need to walk with reverence. Can I get an amen? Listen, we did not choose Jesus. He chose us. And because he chose us, man, we need to fall at the cross every day. Oh, God, Jesus. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, even when I don't feel like I'm saved. Because you got to remember, we're not saved by feelings. We were saved by grace through faith. And it was a gift to us. Can I get amen? Let's move on to the next scripture. Look at this. Then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. This is why it's so important to share with unbelievers, to share with people that don't know Jesus. Why? Because they're going to this place. And it's already, the word of God is forever settled in heaven. We cannot change God's word. It's already forever settled. We are playing out now. It's like we're on a big stage of life. And God already seen the beginning and the end. And so we are now in this play. And God has already seen who are saved and who are not going to be saved. But we don't know that. And so our job is to share. Our job is to sow into their hearts. Our job is to let them know about the love of God, the grace of God. But we also need to let them know the judgment of God. There's churches that won't teach about judgment. They'll teach you, oh, man, God's love. Oh, man. Oh, and then we just go around and we play with harps. And we're going to be on clouds with the angels. No, there's a real hell that people are going to drop into. And you need to pray that God will give them a heart to repent. You need to cry out to God. Listen, there's a parable, and I should have brought it up, but it's coming to me right now. Is there was a woman who kept going to the judge. Oh, God. Oh, God. And this judge says, man, I don't want, get this person out of here. She cries every day. She comes to me every day. I don't want nothing to do with her. And this woman was persistent. And you know what that picture is? Us praying, oh God, save my cousin, save my son, save my daughter, oh God, save my parents, oh God. You know what? If you keep pounding the courts of heaven, God's going to say, okay, enough, because this parable that Jesus taught, this judge says, enough, give her what she wants. I'm tired of listening to her. But are you praying like that? Huh? You know, tonight we just heard a wonderful testimony with Sister Cavani. You know why? Because she's praying. She's praying. Oh, God. Didn't give up. That brother, how old? 51? Come on now. Brand new. Why? Because she didn't give up praying. Hallelujah. And we are not to stop praying for them. Can I get an amen? But when you only get one or two that come out for prayer, something's wrong. Something's out of order. We're supposed to be praying as a family and cry out for these ones. And let me just say this. Sometimes you can be in a place where, man, I don't even know what to pray for tonight. The Holy Ghost does. Pray in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that sometimes we don't know what to pray for, but the Holy Ghost will bring up our prayers, hallelujah, that need to be prayed. Can I get amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Man, there's going to be people cast into the lake of the abyss where the fire burneth eternally. Man, I mean, you know, we're reading it and we're going, yeah, I read it, but no. If you believe your salvation is true and you know you're saved, well, hell's a real place too. And we can't play around with that. Can I get amen? Let's go on. Look, here's another witness. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. See, Paul told Timothy, the Lord and the angels are watching over you, and you will be judged. And so listen, there's a host, a heavenly host, that watches over us. You can't see them with the naked eye. You can't see them with your natural eye, but they're here. Hallelujah. Hey, you ever wondered, when you're amongst believers, Sunday night was a perfect example. We were here, there was just four of us, and the presence of God came. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes, but even if angels from heaven come, you can feel the presence of God because they're around us. Come on. How many love to be in the presence of God? Well, guess what? These heavenly hosts, these angels rejoice when a sinner repents. Look at this. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. They're looking down at us. Get a hold of this tonight, saints. Get a hold of it. Because God is real. And what he says, he means. And what he means, he says. Oh, yes. Look at 2 Peter 2 and 4. Look at this. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness, be reserved for what? Judgment. Man, these are the fallen ones. These are the ones that are demons now. They followed their boss, who was a liar and a deceiver and the father of lies from the very beginning. And look at this. This is why the judgment is very important here. We're talking about this scripture we just read. And don't go anywhere on this. He says, I'm going to read verse 21 one more time. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. So this was the instruction to Timothy. Look at Revelation right up here. Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. When Jesus comes, it's over now. When Jesus comes back, those who rejected the gospel, I know it hurts right now, because some of us have friends and family members that still do not want nothing to do with Jesus, and it hurts right now. But when he comes back and we're like him, we're not going to worry about them no more. We're going to have a different mind. Because if he doesn't change us and transform them and we're not like him, we're always going to go, oh, man, what about so-and-so? Ooh. You're not going to take that up into heaven with them. That sorrow is sin. That grieving is sin. There's no sin up there. He's given us a whole new mind now. So this is the time to have that heart for them and continue to pray for them, continue to warn them every day if you have to. Come on, Jesus is coming. Get right or get left. He's coming. And so Timothy had, he was charged by Paul that all that you do, do it with a whole heart. Don't do it partial. Why? Because Jesus and the angels are watching you. So how are you, saints, when you're by yourself? No one's there. Are we honoring God? I know that's a tough word tonight to chew on. It's tough. You ever had beef jerky that just wouldn't get soft? After a while, this thing won't get soft. I think my tooth just followed it. Sometimes the word comes that way. It's a hard word to chew on. Jesus, help us. Let's look at verse 22 in chapter 5 of 1 Timothy. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. Now, I had a really good conversation with Tony Abbott. He's the one that's been with us when our first church at the Regal Cinema Theater. You heard the testimony. And then we've been here 8 years. He takes care of our website. He set up all of our audio in here. He came in here, set everything up, and we've had these things. You know, he set up my Pro Tools, the recording, the board back there. He's in the background, and we don't see him. But one of the things he shared with me, he goes, as far as a small church, he goes, the pastor that runs the small church, he has a heart for God, and he's just talking in general, not just me, but in general, because him and I came from Mission Valley Christian Fellowship, and at the height of the mission, there was 3,000. He's been to many churches to set up their audio. I mean, he gets called. This is what he does. He goes to churches, and he sets them all up. That's his part of his ministry. But he told me, and he shared with me, he goes, I feel your pain. I know what you go through, brother, because I see this not just in your church. He goes, but in smaller churches, the pastors are doing the best to raise up the saints, but because there's not enough congregants, he says the pastor tries to put people in positions where they should not be. And then all of a sudden, there's a crash and a burn. And he says, you cannot lay hands on someone suddenly. And this is why right here, he gave me this scripture, and then we're teaching it tonight. So it's not a coincidence. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. One way to avoid sticky problems of disciplining an elder is to be very careful about who is placed in that important position. And so even as a pastor, you have to come and sometimes bring discipline to one of your elders. And if it's not well received, if they don't have your heart, man, they're going to look at you like you are their enemy. And I was getting revelation on this. And it was because, and he goes, don't take it personal. He goes, the bigger churches, they have more people that God will show that pastor, this is the perfect fit for that position in the church. And you're going to have a heart of servanthood there. And then you're going to have some, man, as soon as something comes and jolts, whatever it is, you're going to find out the true colors there. I've seen this. I've experienced it. And there are times when I go through this, every now and then, it's not all the time that I want to throw in the towel. And God grabs that towel and puts it right back in my hand. Go hang that towel up. I have called you for such a time as this. Choosing church leaders today is a serious responsibility. They must have the qualities described in Titus. Look at this. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. Next verse. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. For a bishop must be blameless. And we learned that a bishop is an elder, a deacon, that type of position. As a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered. Did you catch that? Man, I need to sit with you. Bam! Let's throw them all. Look at this. Not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good. Now, I know sometimes, you know, when you pat someone on the back, you're only giving God the glory. And I like to just boast in Christ, okay? But we have some leaders right now. I am so blessed beyond imaginable because they serve the Lord. They love God. They never try to contend. They're just flowing with the Holy Spirit. And that's what they are right here. But hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound teaching both to exhort and convict those who contradict. We are blessed. I hope you know that. God has blessed you. God has blessed us. God has blessed me, and I'm thankful. Saints, not everyone who wants to be a church leader is ready or capable. We're learning this. I'm learning this. 8 years, I'm learning this. Timothy needed to be certain of an applicant's qualifications before asking him to take a leadership position. If Timothy ordained a man who became a liability because of his persistent sinning, and if Timothy allowed that man to remain in the office despite those sins, Timothy would actually participate in those sins by compromising himself. Instead, he should keep himself pure. Can I get an amen? By staying pure, Timothy would be able to be more clearly and judge those saints capable of serving the church as elders. In addition, by dealing immediately with sin amongst the elders, Timothy would show his convictions, his unwillingness to compromise with sin, which would also help to remain pure. Sometimes as a senior pastor, if you have to bring a sharp word, a strong word to an elder, to a leader, you have to. You have to. And sometimes it's not well received. And sometimes it'll come back as like a slap in your face. And then when that happens to me, I have to fall on the cross. I have to just surrender to God. Say, God, help me. Help me. Let's move on to verse 23 in chapter 5. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and for your frequent infirmities. Now, what God showed me in this passage is during this time of Timothy, they didn't have the Culligan man. They didn't have bottled water. You can go to 7-Eleven and just get any. I'm going to take Aquafina today. Some of their water came up from dirty wells, impurities, right? So during this time, something that was more pure than water for an infirmity was sometimes a little glass of wine. But I have scriptures here that Paul told Timothy to have a little glass of wine for your stomach's sake, because sometimes the waters, because they were impure. You know, have you ever heard of Montezuma's Revenge? So you don't want to drink the water when you go down south? You better have you ever have bottled water, right? Okay, why? Because if you drink something out of that tap down there, they don't have all the codes like we do. So down there, you're like rolling the dice. You may get, you. It may be good for you, or man, all of a sudden, man, you're going through the throne, the porcelain throne, until it passes. Huh? Can I get an amen? So, there are scriptures that tell you don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Let's look at this first one right up here. And do not be drunk with wine, and which is dissipation. But we be filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen, those of you that are chugging down, I'm not saying you, but I'm saying those people who do, especially in the church. Man, there's some churches, man, say, man, that's okay. Go ahead. Have a beer. Have some wine. Man, I know what God delivered me from. He delivered me from that life of debauchery. I can't be keep pouring it. Yeah, man, another one, man. Yeah, man. All of a sudden, man, woo! I'd rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. Can I get amen? Amen. I want to be drunk with the new wine. The new wine is what? The Holy Spirit. Oh, yes. Come on. Because Paul said, look, he said right up here, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are not helpful. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the law says if you're 21, you can go buy some liquor. And now you can go and what? And buy this now. All things are lawful for me. Yeah, in other words, lawful, that means I could go in there. I'm 21, here's my ID, here. But all things are not helpful. So if those things God delivered you from, why are you going back to it like a dog that just vomited and then lapped it right back up? It's like a dog going back to his vomit, the Bible says. If you know that that is like kryptonite, why do you want to get by kryptonite? Superman, man, he knew when he got close to kryptonite, man, he would just wobble and fall down. So why do we want to go back to those things that God delivered us? Can I get amen? Because that, look, always look at that, the things that God delivered you from, it's kryptonite. It'll stumble you. It'll cause you to forget about God's perfect ways. It'll cause you to forget about the word. It'll cause you to forget about what your pastor is trying to help you in. It'll just convolute your mind, and all of a sudden, man, you in La La Land. And so he says, all things are lawful for me, but I will be brought under the power. I won't be brought under the power of any. Can I get an amen? Thank you, Jesus. Jesus gave us the power to tread over these things now. Where one time, man, we were submitted to them. Did you know that before you came a believer, before you came to the cross, we were bound to our sin. We couldn't get free from it. All we wanted to do, man, my stash is getting low. I got to go re-up. Come on. Aren't you so blessed that your pastor has gone through that before? You know, there's some pastors that just come out of, Bible college, and they don't have a clue what I'm talking about. They have no clue. Well, according to my assessment, I think you need to enroll in psychology 101. No, you need the Holy Ghost to set you free. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed it didn't take you 12 steps? Well, come on, man, 12, man. I'm on my 11th step, man. I got one more step, and then I'm going to be free. And as soon as you get to that 12th step, man, someone comes over with a six-pack. Someone comes over, man, come on, man, let's party. Oh, let me put the certificate away. Man, but when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, come on. Man, you can say, I'm sorry, devil. Uh-uh. Be gone. That's right. Anyway, if someone's coming to tempt you like that, they ain't your friend. They don't care about you. They want you to wallow in the mire with them. We're going to close out with 24 and 25. Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow later. Likewise, the good works of some are clearly evident, and those that are otherwise cannot be hidden. Let me just say this. I like how Brother G puts it. Don't be faking the funk. I pondered that when he said that the first time. I was going, man, is faking the funk? I thought he was talking about confunction. I thought he was going old school jams on me. I had to figure that one out. And then, I get you now. Because you can take you way back. But we can't be playing the church. Can I get an amen? We need to be the church in these last days. I hope you know Jesus is coming. I hope you know that super blue blood moon that came on Tush B'Sheva is a sign of war. And right now, man, I'm telling you, right now, it's about ready to get heated up in the Middle East. Man, a drone came across into Israel. And so it came back, it went back into Syria. Israel went, a fire jet came and chased it down and blew it up. And as it was leaving, man, they shot rockets at this F-15. And bam, man, I'm telling you, how many of you remember the little Jewish kid named Natan, 15-year-old, that went up and God showed him everything, how it was going to play out? He said, the World War III is going to start with a boom. And when he meant by boom, it's going to be the first nuke drop since Hiroshima. Man, I'm telling you, right now it's a heated hotbed in the Middle East. And guess what? We're still going. I shared with those that came on Sunday night that we're on the trip. When we were at Mission Valley Christian Fellowship, the Enfatada just started. There were no tour guides or tour buses or people from around the world coming to visit. It was a ghost town in Israel. And us 90 that came from Israel, from Mission Valley Christian Fellowship, we were there. And real quickly, man, there were three buses, 30 in each bus. And we were by Bethlehem, going around the corner. And Edo said, stop right here. So as we went around the hillside, what was taking place, the Bethlehem church was under siege. And so as we went around this hill, man, there were like 400 troops and all kinds of army tanks from the IDF, from the Israeli army. And they all looked at us and they're like, where are these guys? And then Edo, our tour guide, had to come out and talk to him in Hebrew. He convinced the general that we came to pray for them. So Edo goes, come on out. All of us got out of our buses, man, and we got to meet them. Man, we all got to go inside a tank, an army tank. And we were mingling with all the army men, you know, from Israel, man. And there were some army, guys that were rabbis, but they had to serve in the IDF. And, you know, and they were like this, you know how they pray? Like they were doing this number like this, you know, on their big old army tanks. And so I got to go in and see one, man. All kinds of gadgets in there, man. And then Pastor Leo asked the general if we can pray before we left. So we surrounded them in a huge circle. And Pastor Leo was saying, and fight like David. Man, we were just praying for them. And so they got the call. We were there. They got the call. They all got in their tanks, man, and they all went to the church of the there in Bethlehem. And the story came back, because we had to leave from there. Story came back. A year later, the general saw Edo and said, remember you 90 that came and prayed for us? He says, you guys were the angels that came to pray for us, because not one person got shot. No one even got scathed. They went in there, freed the church, got all the hostages out, and the ordeal was over. God was with us. So I'm not afraid to go. We went in some tough times. And so you got to remember, when you're in Israel, it's a local call. We're going to close with this scripture. He who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will be found out. That's why Paul told Timothy, these people that are playing church, God's going to uncover them, expose them for all to see. But those who are walking with a pure heart, God will continue to cover them and watch over them and bless their life until Jesus comes. Can I get amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for chapter 5 of 1 Timothy. We thank you for the saints that came out tonight. And Lord, we pray for those who couldn't make it tonight. God, bless them, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness, oh God. And Lord, we're asking, Lord, right now by faith, Lord, that you would continue to bless your saints. Continue to bless Amazing Grace. Lord, we've been through some mountaintops and some valleys. But Lord, you still have us here. And we thank you, God, because we're here to serve you, Jesus. And Yolanda and I were called to serve the body of Christ here. And the leaders and the pastors here, they're here to serve the people. And so, God, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. I'm praying for those right now who may not know who you are. And it's our job to present the gospel to you, to repent of your sins, to ask God to cleanse you and wash you, that God would do a miraculous work in your life. And if you're listening to this message, and maybe it's for the first time, God wants to do something so supernatural in your life. He wants to deliver you from sin and also from judgment, the white throne judgment, where every unbeliever and every sinner will stand before God and give an account for their life. And so if you don't want to be in that predicament, run to the cross where there's mercy and grace. And Jesus will save you. So if that's you listening right now, pray this simple prayer. We'll pray it with you. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for all my sins. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God praise and glory in the house. Man, he's worthy.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.